You're listening to Yes to Employment, a podcast series that seeks to improve competitive integrated employment outcomes for transition-aged youth and young adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Today we're talking with Eric Carter, Associate Professor in the Department of Special Education at Vanderbilt University's Peabody College. He is also the Principal Investigator for Tennessee Works, the state of Tennessee's Partnership in Employment Project. The Tennessee PIE project is in its fifth and final year in its implementation, so we wanted to talk to Professor Carter about his perspective and what the Tennessee Works team has learned, having been through the nearly complete course of a Partnership in Employment project implementation. Professor Eric Carter, tell us about yourself. Tell us about how you came to your current position in the field and what led you to disability studies in the first place.
Sure. Well, my name is Eric Carter. I'm a professor of special education here at Vanderbilt University, and I also work with the Vanderbilt Kennedy Center. I came here about 6 years ago by way of University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I had been on faculty for about 7 years. And have just had a long-term passion to help young people with intellectual and developmental disabilities launch well into life after high school. Came from some friendships that I formed as a college student myself when I first stumbled into the lives of some of my neighbors with intellectual and developmental disabilities and became captivated by the friendships that we formed, but also recognized that the gifts and talents and great strengths of these friends that I had made were not being capitalized on in the workplace and in the community, and that many of my friends who wanted to work struggled to find a place that would welcome them and hire them and support them. And so I've just been long interested in how we can create opportunities and supports for every young person who has that kind of aspiration to find a place to share it.
So this is the first episode of the podcast that we're doing for the Partners in Employment program and the Yes Center. So tell us, what is Partners in Employment? How did it get started? And how did Tennessee end up involved in it?
Well, the Partners in Employment is a Projects of National Significance grant. It was launched, I believe, back in 2011 as an initiative of the Administration on Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, and really came out of a desire to make sure states were moving in ways that their supports, their services, their finances, that everything in a state aimed toward ensuring young people with disabilities who wanted to work had the opportunities and supports to do so. So initial two rounds of funding from that project ended up spurring projects in eight different states. And Tennessee was one of the states that was selected as part of the second round of funding. So we are now in our fifth year of work trying to align our systems and our supports and our partnerships so that essentially every young person in our state would have the aspirations and the preparation and the opportunities and supports to access competitive and integrated work that really helps them flourish in their communities. So that's the focus of the PI projects, is to make sure that that opportunity exists irrespective of where you live and that geography is not a predictor of your outcomes.
And what did the state of Tennessee do as part of its, I mean, you're in your sixth year now, are you?
We're in our fifth year.
We're
the first round of states have finished their fifth year and are 6 years out from initial funding. We weren't funded the first round, but the process of applying for the grant brought together the partners that were needed to do the work anyway. And so we launched our work back in 2011 without the grant, but the grant then has become a catalyst for really taking our work to levels that we could not have done without that initial investment of funding. So for us, Tennessee Works, we call it the Tennessee Works Partnership. It's a systems change project that's really trying to equip young people with intellectual disability to aspire to competitive work from a very, very early age. We're then trying to also make sure that families are equipped with a vision for that work and can pursue the pathways that their sons and daughters need to achieve that. We're working to equip educators so that they are making sure that every student with a disability who is graduating from school is leaving with the skills and vision for employment. And then we're also working with our state service systems to try to make sure that their efforts are aligned towards competitive work, so that if a young person wants to work, the service system is primed and positioned to make that happen. And then the fifth group that we're really working with is just local communities and trying to help them see a vision of their community that would be essentially to see them their workplaces as incomplete without the contributions and the presence of people with disabilities. So trying to help them move in ways that primes employers to think this is an important investment and communities to really pursue this at a local level. So it's a systems change project that has to try to bring together all of these different multiple partners together around some very concrete steps. So for us, those concrete steps or those goals that we're aiming towards is doing a better job of aligning our service delivery systems and coordinating them better so that that leads to better employment opportunities for people with disabilities. That's our first area of effort. A second area has just been to build shared commitment across the state to employment first for people with disabilities. A third area has been to increase the number of businesses and employers throughout the state who are actively seeking out and hiring people with disabilities. A fourth area has been to work to make our state a model public sector employer and to do that through policy and regulatory changes. And then finally, the fifth area has really been to prepare students in our schools for employment through just strong educational and transition services. So they have clear goals aimed towards work and transition services and supports that help them really get there.
So a lot of the PIE states programs have been run out of the Developmental Disabilities Councils or the Vocational Rehabilitation Agencies. What does Tennessee's PIE program, what does your consortia look like?
Sure. Well, we're a network now of a growing network of more than 40 organizations and agencies that all share this common commitment to helping people with disabilities thrive in the workplace. We crafted our original proposal with a set of agencies that all agreed to sign a memorandum of understanding that include our Department of Education, our Department of Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, our Department of Labor and Workforce Development, our Department of Human Services, which is the agency that administers the Division on Vocational Rehabilitation, our Tennessee Council on Developmental Disabilities, and then our University Center on Excellence in Developmental Disabilities. So those seven core partners were there at the outset, made this commitment, and along with another 16 agencies and organizations at that point, really created the Tennessee Collaborative with Vanderbilt as the backbone organization for that. So we're the ones who are really shepherding the project, but it's those seven agencies and these multiple organizations that are all part of it. And I think we just see that as foundational to this work. You can't move systems from only one or two corners of the system. You have to get coordination, a shared vision, and then those systems moving together, but in tandem with local organizations that are also who are carrying out the day-to-day work of putting that vision into practice have to be part of that as well.
And what has your role been in the Tennessee PIE?
Sure. Well, I, along with Elise McMillan, are co-principal investigators of the grant that is funding part of this work. Now, I want to emphasize that for us, we've really framed the Tennessee Work Collaborative as much bigger than just this particular grant. We really have strived to send, sort of create a common message that everything that we do that aims towards employment is Tennessee Works. But the particular grant, the PI grant that that is been really spurring that work is led by myself and Elise. And we work closely with these five stakeholder-focused work groups then to carry out that work.
And what were the, when you guys first set out on this, on your PI grant, what were the biggest challenges you faced in Tennessee?
Well, I think, like a lot of states, we're a large state. And so we span 400, 500 miles across from east to west, rural areas, urban areas, suburban areas. And so, you know, systems change that happens in these rural areas looks quite different often from systems change in our more urban areas. So one of the challenges was just trying to make sure that the movements we were going to make weren't just going to happen in Nashville or in Chattanooga or Memphis or Knoxville, but that we would be doing work that would really have an opportunity to create new outcome or better outcomes and better supports in any of our 95 counties. So I think that was one of the challenges, was how do we design it in a way that's going to have really broad reach, knowing people are living in very diverse economically, geographically, and other way areas. I think a second thing that we encountered, like lots of states, are that that we had a lot of people who wanted to work but were not yet in the workplace and didn't have those opportunities, and that those low employment rates can be very daunting at first. How do we get from where we are right now to this vision of every young person having a connection to the workforce? And so trying to scale back and say, how do we end up there years down the road, but see movements that we can make in the interim that would actually begin moving us towards that longer term, bigger vision? That was certainly a challenge. I think in our state, like lots of other states, you know, leadership and staff in departments change. They're quite frequent often. And so how do you maintain that momentum that you're building when key leaders of different agencies are entering and exiting and shifting around to new positions? So for us, that challenge really early on, I think signing that original memorandum of understanding that had commissioner support made sure that vision endured even when the faces around our table didn't. And we've also done some other things, I think, to address that around, particularly around our work with having an employment roundtable. This has these regular meetings with very planned agendas so that as key department changes happened, we were able to bring in the new leadership of those programs into this ongoing conversation and brief them, you know, about the importance of what we're doing and their contributions to that. I think, you know, a fourth area of challenge, in addition to sort of just the breadth of our state, the you know, the low employment rates and the changing faces, is just the challenge of ensuring young people from diverse linguistic and cultural backgrounds are also benefiting from the movements that we're making. Here in Nashville alone, there are 80 plus languages. People from all around the country and all around the world live here. So trying to figure out how we partner strategically with our multicultural disability outreach program, our Tennessee Disability Pathfinder, and other groups to make sure that when we talk about improving outcomes for all of our community, we are actually doing that for all of our community.
What? So this is, you're in... your year five.
Correct.
What do you know now at the end of your, as you're approaching the end of your Partners in Employment grant, that you wish you knew at year zero when you set out?
Well, I think, you know, systems change. I think we all knew that systems change is a long haul effort. It's not a quick fix. It takes incremental changes over time. I think we understood that. But, you know, I wish I had had begun with the patience that I've learned to develop now. You have to sort of couple both this very aspirational vision and a dogged pursuit of it with recognition that there's lots of parts that have to move, and you celebrate small progress celebrate those along the way. So I think that, you know, I think that's true probably of any systems change effort. I think another piece that we realize but have realized is all the more important is just the importance of data. We were very deliberate early on about making sure that we had were able to set clear metrics that we could aim towards. You know, the measures often lead direct our movements, and so we wanted to make sure we had good data to set some clear goals and then serve as benchmarks for our progress. But I think what we've realized is that we and ended up investing in this needed to spend a lot more time shoring up our data systems to make sure that we had the information we needed to make the kinds of movements we wanted to make. So we have ultimately embedded invested a lot of efforts in data collection early on to make sure we understood what young people's aspirations were and what families needed by way of support and what schools were doing to prepare young people with disabilities. So I think I wish we had pulled some of those data efforts up even earlier into the process, but that's an ongoing piece, ongoing element of work. And I think another element that's really important is just the critical piece of storytelling in all of this. That, you know, our employment rates were low at the start, but we sort of presumed that if we laid out a pathway towards good jobs, that everyone would come on board and make that investment too. But we've realized that there are a lot of families that are reluctant to make these moves. There are a lot of young people who can't quite envision being in the workplace. And so we needed to spend much more time early on trying to paint a picture of what it would look like in this state for Tennesseans to make that path to employment. That meant spending a lot of time doing some storytelling and video work and success story sharing so that we could help more people catch that vision. I think we assumed that it was more widespread than maybe it was.
So also with this being year five, what are you guys doing to think about sustainability beyond the lifetime of the grant?
Well, these grants were intended really as catalyst grants. They were not enough to do all the work, but were really intended to spur the work, to identify the pathway to these kinds of, to achieving our goals, and then to spur that work. So we've had our sights set on sustainability since the very beginning of the partnership. And I think that's really critical, is to begin to envision how are we going to continue to make these moves when this grant funding is long gone, and not design things that are going to go away the moment this grant goes away. And we've all seen lots of grants, lots of special initiatives that get created. They do this great work and then they disappear. So one thing that we did is we embedded our grant activities into the work of individual agencies. I think this has particularly worked well with our partnership with the Department of Education, with our 10Care, which is our state's Medicaid agency, our Department of Human Services, which is Voc Rehab, and our Department of Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities. So, for example, we recently partnered with the Tennessee Department of Education to create a new online portal for high quality and on-demand professional development around transition. So that's something now the Tennessee Department of Education has written into their financial note, and it's become now part of the work that they do. And that is just beginning and will last long past the end of this grant in October. Likewise, we've been working with our state's Vocational Rehabilitation Department to explore how they can begin to fund training and technical assistance for our Voc Rehab counselors who are now working with students beginning at age 14. So we're having those discussions long before the end of the grant so that work can get embedded into the future sort of financial commitments of these different agencies. We also have been fortunate to have a really strong disability, developmental disabilities network here in Tennessee. That includes our Vanderbilt Kennedy Center, you said, the UT Bowling Center, you said, and our Tennessee Council on Developmental Disabilities and Disability Rights, Tennessee. So we collectively meet monthly to work on joint initiatives. And then we, I think after our AIDD funding has ended, that those groups will continue to convene our employment roundtable, continue to support and shepherd our work groups, so that when the funding ends, that work is just part of what we do. I think for us, a gift of this grant was that we weren't funded the first year. And so we launched, after crafting this wonderful proposal, we thought, and weren't funded, we decided to do the work anyway. So we viewed the funding as a real gift to enable us to do it even better. But we began with the idea that we can't rely on grant funding, and we're now ending with the idea that our continued work doesn't demand that grant funding. We can still pursue our goals because they're embedded in now all the work of our partners through a joint strategic plan.
What have you done to guarantee the participation of people with disabilities in key leadership roles in your project?
Well, our work is fundamentally focused on ensuring the aspirations of people with disabilities are receiving the support and opportunity they need. And that has meant having people with disabilities as active and prominent voices in all that we do. We have a partnership that has five key work stakeholder-focused work groups. One of those is specifically focused on individuals with disabilities and their families, which ensures that their voice is not only part of every meeting, but there's a very intentional effort to identify how are they thinking about the work that we're doing? Is the work really serving to equip them in the ways that they want to be equipped and supported? So that's certainly one thing that has been embedded throughout. It also means that at our partnership meeting, people with disabilities are prominent both in the leadership of that, but also in the have a presence in the partnership itself. We do an annual Disability Day on the Hill, which involves supporting young people with disabilities and their families to be down on Capitol Hill to share their stories and advocate among our legislators and certainly among our agencies to make sure that that they understand that the work we're doing is about helping them realize their aspirations. And we've also taken a number of steps to make sure that the data we collect comes firsthand from these stakeholders. So for people with disabilities and their families, we've carried out a series of interviews that make sure we're hearing their voices, as well as a large-scale survey of 2,400 parents of individuals with disabilities asking about their perspectives on the ways we move and the supports they need and the resources we should develop. So we work very close in all of these different ways, as well as a number of the individuals who work on our project are individuals with disabilities themselves, some of whom recently graduated from our post-secondary program for people with intellectual disabilities here at Next Steps.
What are some of the accomplishments of the Tennessee Partners in Employment Program that have been most substantial or of which you are most proud?
Well, I think one of the emphases of this grant was to change policies. And we see that as one really important metric of our success. So very early on in our project, one of the things that we were most proud of was the signing of the Employment First Executive Order by our governor, Bill Haslam, and that was in 2013. That was the order that established an Employment First Task Force, put in place an annual report to the governor, which essentially has provided the accountability and the pathway for our movements each of these years. So we have the endorsement from the highest levels of our state to carry out this work. And I think that has been really critical for moving agencies and organizations and school systems and advocacy groups. We were also really proud that early on we were able to shift some policies related to transition and post-secondary education that are really foundational to this work. One was there was discussion about raising our transition age from 14 up to 16, And as a partnership, we work to articulate a strong case for why early transition planning was so critical to future success within and beyond school. And we're able to retain that earlier age of transition. We also, related to that, have had successes in supporting post-secondary educational pathways for students with intellectual disabilities. The ARC of Tennessee, the Tennessee Disability Coalition, early on proposed legislation to provide students with intellectual and developmental disabilities scholarship funding that any other student in Tennessee would receive through our lottery-funded scholarship so that they could be part of inclusive higher education programs. So that was a success, and now we have expanded on that to now have 4 years of funding for our students. So there were some early policy successes that we're really proud of. I think we're also proud of our abilities to, of our successes in really engaging communities around these issues. We've held now a series of probably over 20 or 25 community conversation events that bring together a cross-section of community members, employers, educators, family members, individuals with disabilities, community leaders, civic leaders, faith community leaders, for these very focused conversations about what it would look like to move employment outcomes in that particular community. I think that's really galvanized a lot of local support for these movements and has shown that essentially local communities have the assets and the resources they need to make these kind of movements. So the ability to really spur those conversations and then now see communities moving on the ideas that they generated has been really exciting. And I think then the last success I'll mention is just we realized that if we're going to move practices, that we needed to make sure that people had the best available information about what really works. And so we poured a lot of time and creative thinking into how do we make information accessible to any person in our state who is wanting to make steps to move to expand employment opportunities. So we launched our Tennessee Works website, which has become the go-to portal for all things employment in our state. It serves to equip families who are wondering about this world of employment, to equip employers who are saying, I'm intrigued, I'd like to hire someone, but I don't know what to do, what supports are available, to young people with disabilities who are saying, well, what does it look like to go on to college or to pursue employment? To educators who are wondering, how do we design transition services so that really do aim towards these goals? So that online portal has really been a way to showcase the successes we're having, but also to equip people all along the way. So we're particularly proud of that and think that that could be a model for other states as well.
So where can people find that portal?
Well, we have two websites that I really want to encourage people to check out. One is our Tennessee Works partnership website, which is www.tennesseeworks.org. This is a place where you will find resources and content organized by stakeholder group, self-advocates, families, educators, employers, and agencies. It includes upcoming events. It has our data dashboard where we feature the data that we've been collecting. It's where we showcase our success stories and our video library and searchable databases of resources. So that, I think, it gives a really good portrait of what we've been doing in the state. The other that I would encourage people to check out is more focused on transition happening through school systems. And that is transitiontn.org. And that is an online professional development site for teachers who are working with transition age youth and young adults with disabilities. And it's really aimed at equipping them with the evidence-based practices they need to really realize this vision that we've cast across the state. Both of those are of course, free. And while there is a Tennessee accent on all the content, it's really relevant for anyone living in any state.
So part of the purpose of this podcast is to serve as a channel for mentorship to the other PIE states, especially some of our freshman entrants into this round of funding. Do you have anything that you can direct them to in the state of Tennessee that would be of interest to other PIE recipients?
Well, I think one of the gifts of this project is that it does bring different states into conversation with one another that are trying to move towards the same goals, but often in silos from one another. So we have learned substantially from the other states that are also taking this journey, and then taken those ideas back, stole them shamelessly, and then made them our own so that they worked here in Tennessee. So I think all the states would encourage the new states to do that as well. For us, you know, I already mentioned our website, which has wonderful resources. For those of the other states that are thinking about how you move local, make local level changes, we have a number of resources related to that community conversation approach that I mentioned earlier, videos of what it looks like to host those, as well as resources needed to put those on. Along with all the findings from the different events that we've put on across the state. So I think for new states that are intrigued by that community level change efforts, going to our website and clicking on community conversations should take you right there. I think I mentioned also the Transition Tennessee resource. That's our resource for transition teachers. That's a wonderful place to direct if you're trying to make movements in local schools around strengthening the quality and impact of transition services. It includes just rich information, very practical, very accessible on-demand information that can serve to equip school systems. And you might begin to think about how could we create a similar resource that has, you know, more of an accent specific to our state. So those are a few places that I would encourage people to think about. We also love data here in Tennessee. I hope other states do as well. So there are a number of us who are particularly excited about sharing with other states how we've approached the process of doing data collection, creating our data dashboard, and making that part of our systems change conversations.
So we kind of had to scramble to fit in an opportunity to do this podcast because you're about to leave on sabbatical.
That's right.
Would you tell us what you're planning to do?
Well, I am heading off in an RV for the next 2 months to an undisclosed national park location. I pulled my kids out of school and we've been traveling the country this year doing road schooling. And for me, that's a time to pull away from all of this busyness, but also to step back and just reflect on, you know, when I come back in the fall, how do we begin to take these great lessons we've learned, the new movements that we've started, and then begin to really push them forward in the years ahead. So a motorhome is a great place to do that kind of reflection. So I may be in a state, one of your states among you listeners, and might be looking for someone to host me.
Well, I know that you've already been an important consultant to so many of the other PIE states and other people in other aspects of the disability community. But thank you for taking the time with us today to work through this channel.
You bet. Thank you for the invitation and just for the investment you all are making in supporting this new cadre of states. We look forward to seeing what happens all across the country because of this investment.
You've been listening to Yes to Employment, a podcast that seeks to improve competitive integrated employment outcomes for transition age youth and young adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. To learn more about Tennessee Works, the State of Tennessee's Partnership in Employment Project, visit TennesseeWorks.org. For more about Yes to Employment, including show notes, links to resources discussed, a complete transcript, and a schedule of episodes, visit yestoemployment.org/podcast. You can subscribe through iTunes or your favorite Android podcast app to have the series delivered automatically to your device so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a rating on iTunes. Ratings will help us get this series in front of more listeners. Yes to Employment is a production of the Youth Employment Solutions Center, the National Training and Technical Assistance Center that serves as the hub of information and expertise for the Partners in Employment state projects. The Yes Center is a collaboration of TASH and TRANSCEND. You can learn more about TASH at TASH.org and about TRANSCEND at TRANSCEND, T-R-A-N-S-C-E-N, .org. You can receive updates from the Yes Center on this podcast and our other activities by following us on Facebook or on Twitter at Yes to Employment. Partnerships in Employment is a series of seed grants funded by the Administration on Community Living's Administration on Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities, made to states for the purpose of transforming state disability support systems to competitive integrated employment. AIDD is dedicated to ensuring that individuals with developmental disabilities and their families are able to fully participate in and contribute to all aspects of community life in the United States and its territories. Music for Yes to Employment is an original composition and performance by Sunny Sefirati, the co-director and autistic self-advocacy mentor at The Musical Autist. You can learn more about The Musical Autist at themusicalautist.org. We'll have another episode on competitive integrated employment for you in the near future.